This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 600, Artifact Retirement Home. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from pops to dorbs, rides to mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA2018.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast, here for over 600 episodes. There's some other stuff in there, I'm sure. And with me, I have Toasty. How you doing, Toasty?
I've had better weekends, honestly.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, kind of sucked. The Gladiators' hubris got the best of them. They had to call out the team that they were struggling with the most. They couldn't just call the Dallas Fuel to get the easy win. Come on, guys. Oh well, stage 4 was still great for the LA Gladiators. They came in first. They just couldn't win the playoffs, which is, you know, the story of all my teams in any playoffs, apparently. Feels bad, man.
Are you happy that it's 91 days till hockey?
What?
You heard me.
I heard you misquote the number.
No, it's 91 days till hockey returns.
There are 107 days until hockey starts.
So you don't count the preseason? You don't count the effort the players are putting in the preseason to show how good they are?
They're not showing how good they are. Well, not on the regular roster anyway. The guys who aren't on the roster regularly, yeah, they're showing effort.
Playoffs don't count for standings.
It doesn't count for the standings, it doesn't count at all.
Okay, there you go.
It doesn't count for standings or a trophy.
So if they gave away a trophy in the preseason, you'd be for that.
Okay. And I'd count it. But I don't.
Trophy for best effort. Most improved effort.
Sure. I think that trophy is making the roster. Just throwing that out there.
I see.
See, this preseason NHL hockey counts so little that not even all the games are televised, okay?
Regular? Oh, wait. No, I guess they all are regular.
Yeah.
Never mind. I don't know. I don't know nothing. True story.
Yeah.
Hey, wait. We're doing a podcast, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Yes, we are.
And how you doing there, Fan?
I'm okay. Yeah. Yeah, not too bad.
How was your week in WoW?
It was okay. Not too bad. Oh, I started working on catching fish so that I could hopefully get my fishing artifact before artifacts disappear forever. That's kind of cool. I caught like 2 that I needed. Yay! Of all of them. I don't even know how much I need. What else did I do? Some emissary stuff. Still sitting on 1 legendary. Still struggling to, you know, get caught up on my order hall resources without wasting the bloods on them. Or not bloods, but whatever they're called.
Bloods of Sergeras, yes.
Oh, is it bloods? Oh, geez. Okay.
So, yeah, what do you spend those on if they're not spent on that?
I will be spending them on... Well, yeah, I say that, but probably on the crafting stuff. If I ever get that far.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's my plan.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else I did. And it's... All of Blur. That's pretty much it, I think, for WoW. It was a pretty slow WoW week for me. Unrelated to WoW, Season 14 came up in Diablo, so I started playing that, but that's neither here nor there. It's not what this podcast is about. That's pretty much my whole week in WoW.
Did you enjoy your first this is your first Father's Day, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was good?
It was pretty awesome. Not sure if you saw on Facebook, but Haley got me this nice little picture frame with three pictures of her holding out the letters for Dad. It's so cute. Yeah.
That's equally... What's incredibly impressive is that she managed to do that without having mastered fine motor skills.
Right? She's amazing.
That's pretty awesome. Truly
impressive.
I'll find this and link it in the chat room. Because it's nice. Super cute.
So how was your weekend while there, Toasty?
It was pretty quiet, honestly. Most of my time spent playing WoW was during the week, because the weekend I was just really freaking busy between Father's Day and... Okay, well, Saturday wasn't so much busy as it was spent watching the last day of the Overwatch League season. Enjoyed watching that. That was a lot of fun. Also, enjoyed watching the Gladiators whoop London. That was great. When I was playing WoW, I was playing around the beta some more. Did some of the initial quests for the Alliance and the Horde. Just getting to the respective zones. Didn't actually complete the Alliance one. I just barely started it before I got distracted by beating up a training dummy. I don't know why I spent time doing that, honestly. Because, A, I don't do that in live. B, I did that on my Alliance character, which, as anyone who pays attention to the Discord chat knows, it was a Dark Iron Paladin, so I have no idea what those numbers are supposed to look like.
Well, see, here's your first problem. You made an evil paladin. I mean, that was your first problem.
I mean, I made a good paladin. It's the best paladin.
I think we really need to discuss the definition of good.
Good meaning Dark Iron Doors. It's the only option for Paladin.
Medros, he has a point there.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
No.
I mean, look at that picture. Or anybody in our Discord chat, just scroll up a little bit. That is an awesome Dark Iron Dwarf. And an even better looking Paladin.
For a Dark Iron Dwarf, it looks great. However, it's not good for a Paladin.
Disagree.
You have every right to disagree all you want. You can be wrong all you'd like.
Strong words.
I'm glad you enjoyed making your Dark Iron Paladin, and I hope that it serves you well.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. The most exciting part about making that Dark Iron Paladin was just creating the character. Combat-wise, okay. I still hate Red Paladin with a burning passion. Oh my god. One of these days, they're going to make combat interesting for that thing. But it's just slow and clunky, and oh my god, I couldn't stand it.
I thought you were going to say the best part of creating it was deleting it.
And I gave it... I feel like I gave it an honest shot to try to like Paladin combat. I don't know. I just did not enjoy that at all. And to be fair, I honestly don't think it would be restricted to a Paladin thing. I find most of the time when I'm playing a melee class in WoW, if I've got the option of using a two-hander, just a single two-hander, that combat in general feels really slow to me. There's a reason that, with my DK, I leveled it as a tank out of necessity at the time, because we needed a tank at that point, and I did not like warrior tanking. Or maybe it wasn't so much not liking warrior tanking, it just didn't feel right on my main, so I leveled up the blood DK. But that combat felt slow. So slow. I don't know. So whenever I had a chance to, I definitely went Frost and dual-wielded. That just felt more... It was a more satisfying combat experience for me. It just feels quicker paced, I guess. So give me an option to dual wield as a Paladin Blizz, and maybe I'll like Paladin. That probably won't happen.
That's not what Paladins do. And wouldn't we be taking then the feel away from your warriors?
Probably.
So you don't want Blizzard to give you dual wielding Paladins?
Nope.
Gotcha. I thought that was the case. I just want to check to be sure.
Yeah. I did complete the Horde entry into Zul'Dazar, which was pretty cool. There was a whole bunch of lead up there that was interesting. Just establishing that relationship with the Zandalari trolls and all that. And I kind of enjoyed that. Not enough to play Horde in live, mind you, but it was...
No?
It was an interesting little scenario that led us to our first... Like, our face-to-face with the Zandalari and how we get in with them. And then I leveled up some more characters. Didn't really make much progress. It was very much log in, quest around for 20 minutes, and get really bored and stop. I don't know. I'm having a hard time... A harder time than I have in previous expansions at this point in the expansion, leveling up alts. So, hopefully there's a pre-expansion event that grants me real quick leveling up stuff. I very much enjoyed that going into Legion.
Yeah, that would be super awesome.
That's when I leveled up my Discipline Priest.
Mm. Yeah, I got a couple characters I could use that for.
I would use that for my Hunter and my Rogue, definitely, because those are, like, sub 40. Who else would I use it on? My Druid. So my Druid's only level 100. My DK and my Monk, because those are, like, between 100 and 110. I would get a lot of use out of that very quick level up period, so Blizzard give it to me.
I'll be honest, I don't know that I'll do the pre-expansion quest line to get my artifact until right before the launch of the expansion. Because I like my abilities too much.
Yeah.
I think those will go away with the 8.0 pre-patch.
Perhaps, but the indication is that should happen after you do the quest. Otherwise, the lore of why you're giving up your weapon is broken.
Wouldn't be the first time the lore's broken.
This is true. I mean, if you see that hair, that's really broken hair.
He doesn't have that hair anymore.
He doesn't?
No. Haven't you watched the Q&A? No? Oh my.
Last Q&A that I think I watched, he still had the hair.
Oh my, that was like 3 years ago, dude.
Really? No.
No, he didn't. I don't think he worked for Blizzard 3 years ago.
I just always assumed he tied it back.
No, he was definitely with Blizzard 3 years ago, because I believe he was with Blizzard... Yeah, he was with Blizzard at our first BlizzCon.
Oh. I don't know.
Yeah, I just always assumed he tied it back. It looks like it's just tied back.
Maybe he does. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Yeah. Like a mouse. I'm good at lying.
Okay.
No, I really don't know if he does or not. I just thought that he did. It kind of looked to me like he did.
Now I'm curious. Yeah.
This is not the lore hair watch.
It could be.
I mean, it's mildly Warcraft related.
Yeah.
I guess.
Like, if you really...
Hey, lore's hair is...
Like, if you really stretch the definition of WoW related...
Yeesh. Yeah, I'm not going to get into that personal detail with the people who are working at Blizzard. Sorry,
that's fair. That feels like a little much.
A little bit.
Well, Tonks says hi.
Hi, Tonks.
All right. So my week in WoW. I assume you're done, right, Toasty?
Yes, sir.
All right. Just making sure. Don't want to trample over the remainder of your time.
All right.
Let's see, my week in WoW. The usual stuff for the most part, farming Bloods of Sargeras to feed my alts, ordinal resources. I did do some leveling. My Lightforged Paladin is now up to level 40.
How's your Warlock doing?
I was about to say, she is now level 30. Ooh. So she has gained some levels. She earned some cash this week, so that was good. Well, okay, she got some cash this week. Earning is probably a too generous a statement. But it was a good week. I keep staring at my other character, my other allied race character, and I don't know what to do about it.
Delete it.
is that your
absolutely an option?
Is that your Lightforge Paladin?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That would, you jerks. That would be my
Lightforge Paladin.
No. I already talked about my Lightforge Paladin.
Doesn't mean you're not talking about it now.
Maybe my High Mountain Druid.
Why would you want to delete that?
But it's a bear with antlers.
You're a monster.
Not a buck. I guess it can be a bear, but it doesn't. Well, primarily, I already have two druids.
Okay, how many paladins do you have?
Three.
Okay. Your two druid argument is automatically invalid.
But I like playing paladins.
What's wrong with druids? Druids are a fine class.
Yes, however, this character is likely never to leave Orgrimmar for a very long time.
So what? Just keep it around. I've got my Worgen druid. Hell, I know someone with probably at least 9 druids.
Alright, then. Then my boomhoof druid of the High Mountain Tauren will remain, I guess. I know I'm getting 2 more characters in under 2 months, so I'm good with that, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It's fine.
I will say that he is he actually out-leveled my warlock for a short time.
What level is your warlock now?
2 levels higher than him.
Okay.
But
that doesn't answer my question.
My warlock is level 30.
Okay. Oh, look at that. You got 10 levels. That means I'm going to put 10 levels. No, I'm not, because I don't have my Dark Iron Paladin yet.
Yep. Can't do Dark Iron Paladin.
Well. Fandef has a paladin that's like level 90 some odd.
And Jess, I don't believe you are a worthy critic of the quantity of druids one should have. Because I believe I know the person that she was talking about with 9 druids. I think it was you. just respond to the chat room.
True story.
So I still don't know what I'm going to roll for my next 2 spots. I haven't really looked at the Culturon or Zandalari, nor have I really looked at the Dark Irons or Maghar. I don't imagine making a Maghar, but you never know.
What?
See, okay, that so
sounds awesome.
For the Kul'tirans, the obvious answer is Druid.
No.
For the Dark Irons, the obvious answer is Paladin.
No.
Not only are those the obvious answers, those are the only correct answers. Tonks agrees with me.
Of course, Tonks agrees with you. I would expect nothing less than to have your dog agree with you. It would not be your dog if they didn't.
He offered Tonks treats.
I bet.
No, she's just, I don't know what she wants. I gave her food before the show, let her out before the show. She's just standing on my couch, barking at the window. I'm not even sure that there's anything at the window. She's just barking at it. And now she's beside me, giving head scratches. And now she got fed up with head scratches and is walking out my door.
Okay, then.
And there she is again. I'm going to mute for a little bit.
Let's see. What can a Dark Iron Dwarf be? I could try a Shaman. I mean, I didn't really jump a Goblin Shaman, but I could try it.
Paladin.
Definitely not doing Priest again. Monk, maybe. Mage, no. Hunter, maybe. Hunter might be a good interesting one. But I don't know that I need 2 Hunters. Like, I'd rather not have to, like, hunt down cool pets on more than 1 Hunter.
Paladin.
For Meghar.
I think the answer is Paladin.
Magar can't be a paladin.
No, I'm talking about the Dark Iron Dwarves.
Can you play a good Dark Iron Dwarf that doesn't look evil?
Sure.
I think you're lying to me.
I don't know.
Toasty would never lie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, then. Well, let's move along and talk a little bit about our first sponsor, shall we? Our first sponsor is the great folks over at Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, Warcraft, Overwatch, Heroes of Diablo, and even more from outside the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Star Trek, Marvel, and more. I recently watched the Making of Fun. It's a Netflix documentary on Funko and how they started and their idea as they grew as a company and behind their different products and everything that led to where they are today. It was a lot of fun. And one of the ones that I saw, like, literally after I watched that was the Funko of the Week this week. I'm really intrigued by this one because it's very interesting. So it's from a movie that I watched ages and ages ago for the first time. It's from The Lost Boys. It's the character of Sam Emerson, which is played by Corey Haim. It's really, really neat. I'm definitely looking forward to doing some of the other characters because his character was more of the plain one of the movie. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the other... I'll show you guys what the other ones look like, because there's a lot more interesting and more creative ones in the rest of the series. The Lost Boys is a great movie, and I really enjoyed it, and I really wanted to do this one as soon as I saw that they were doing the series of them. So, if you want to check out this Funko and many others, go to bit.ly/FunkoATA2018 to check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% on the entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA2018 and use the code SHOP10 to save 10%. And thanks to Funko for their support of the show.
You know, I never actually watched The Lost Boys. I keep... Like, I'm aware of the movie. I've never actually watched it. Although reading the synopsis, it sounds like it's something I'd enjoy.
It is a really good movie. I enjoyed it. And I didn't think I would at first. But let's talk about what's come up this week.
Alright, well, this week is the return of Cataclysm Time Walking. That's going to be from June 19th to the 25th. Also, later on this week, June 21st, which I think is Thursday, is going to be the Midsummer Fire Festival. Yay! And that's going to run till to the end of July 4th and a little bit into July 5th after the Midsummer Fire Festival. After the fireworks. I almost repeated. I did repeat myself. But yeah, so that's really all that we have going on. I did repeat myself. Like, half-assedly, but I kind of did. Yeah.
I am looking forward to the first week in July.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why? Canada Day?
No. World Quest event. Bonus Fang begins. That's where I bring all of my characters up to having decent amounts of Order Hall resources for a while.
I am looking forward to the last week of June.
Arena skirmishes?
No. The end of the last week, because that's my birthday.
Oh. Okay, then.
So I have that day off, and then I have July 2nd off, so I have like a 4-day weekend.
Nice.
And then whatever else I want to take off for.
So what you're saying is I have to find something really big to happen on your birthday going forward.
Really big to happen?
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, I can't get married again, so, you know, something has to really, in my life, has to be really big that happens on your birthday.
Sure.
That's okay with me. I'm really looking forward to August 14th. It's a week off work. I can't wait.
I'm only taking a couple of days.
I have, like, 14 days owed to me right now that I have to take off. And if I don't take anything off, then I'll have 24 by the end of the year, I think, or something stupid. Or 20 by the end of the year. I don't know. Ridiculous. And people are going to get mad at me if I don't take time off, so...
Yeah, I already got the angry email saying I've got a year's worth of vacation already saved up. So... Yeah, they told me to book some vacation time. I'm like, I got 2 weeks booked already. What more do you want from me?
Yeah, well, apparently the person sending that email didn't actually pay attention to what they approved.
Oh.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah, indeed.
So instead of talking about, you know,
work,
our important life things and holidays and work, what do we got coming up for our first topic?
All right, so we talked about this briefly last week, but there was a Q&A scheduled for this past Thursday, and of course that happened. Some of the highlights from that Q&A, well, the big thing was the pre-expansion patch hit the PTR during the Q&A. So, yay, one of those telltale signs that we're so close to the expansion releasing. They haven't communicated when exactly that pre-patch is going to be live. They did clarify that everything but Battle for Azeroth content or content-specific systems will be in the pre-expansion patch, just like always. So we can look forward to seeing, you know, the war mode coming in the 8.0 PTR, but stuff like Island Expeditions and that other mode that I'm blanking on.
War mode?
No, War mode. War mode is one of the things that's going live with the 8.0 PTR. Oh, what's the name of it? So Island Expeditions and... Oh, that mode that I can't remember the name of, where you're building up a base.
I'm not trying to leave you hanging here, but I don't know what you're talking about, so...
Oh my god, it's gonna bug me now. Okay, it's that... War Fronts. So War Mode, the PvP toggle, is going live in the 8.0 patch, but War Fronts is a Legion-specific content thing, so that's not gonna go live until Legion launch. So yeah, or Battle for Azeroth launch. You know what I'm talking about, chat room. Don't call me out like that.
I'm going to predict July 10th.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I was going to ask you guys. Because, I mean, they're not going to do it on, July 3rd. Because, you know, July 4th is the very next day. And that doesn't make any sense. Because people won't be in the office anyways. So yeah, the 10th, and then that'll still be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks until August 14th.
Yep, sounds about right.
Yeah.
So, do you guys want to grab a bite on the 14th for lunch?
Of July?
Of August. Yeah, we can grab a bite to eat before we head home and get ready to play the expansion. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least one of us not working. Two of us at least. Maybe three.
I don't know what I'm doing yet.
I
don't know what I'm doing yet.
I see.
I might be out of the country at that time, for all I know.
Really?
I don't know.
Fair
enough. Possible.
It's a crazy world, Medros. Anything can happen. Like, this I might play a paladin and enjoy it. That's not true at all.
Not go too far.
What else did they talk about? They talked about the patch cycle during the Q&A. They're saying that we're going to see a very similar cycle as we saw in Legion, where they'll be alternating large and small patches, which is great, because I feel like the content pace for Legion was pretty spot on. I don't know. What do you guys think of that?
I love the unintentional 77 days.
Yes, that was pretty fantastic. Wonder what the unintentional date's going to be this time.
Ooh.
70 days? 84 days?
I think 84. Yeah. That's my prediction. 84 days for at least 3 straight patches.
Alright, we'll see.
So, in the Q&A, they also mentioned about the artifacts, and the note here says, artifact traits will go away with patch 8.0 as the weapons are retired. Oh, as the weapons are retired, so you're right, Medros, I guess, that you still have to do the quest. That's what it sounds like anyways.
Mm-hmm.
With the artifacts, you'll still be able to keep the weapon and all the relics, and the relics will still function as a method of increasing the item level for the weapon. They've also stated regarding transmog for artifacts that transmog will remain spec-specific in Battle for Azeroth. So truly, there is no point in me getting any of the arms ones.
Well, you never know. You might want to roll arms. Roll on your arms.
No.
Well, maybe you'll go prot for BFA.
No.
Sorry, I don't know. There. Anything's possible. I'm not judging.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. One thing that I read, because I watched some of it at work today, and then I didn't see the rest of it, but I kind of read over the notes. One thing that I found interesting was that they are going to try to link PvP seasons to actual other raid content, so the PvP seasons will last a little bit longer. Or, well, double the length, probably, because currently it looks like you kind of have two PvP seasons per raid tier. And then it just feels kind of weird because you're getting... And, oh, also, gear is going to matter more for, getting in PvP. I guess it doesn't matter. I don't know how that works. Because I haven't really PvP'd a whole lot.
But... And the way PvP works right now is that... I believe anyway that the power starts at a certain level.
Yeah.
And as you gain item level, well, I don't believe the gear itself provides a stat boost in PvP. The higher item level is, it grants a certain percentage of power.
Oh, okay.
I think that's how it works. Don't at me if I'm horrifically wrong because I never PvP.
Yeah.
Well, I PvP, I just don't PvP enough to pay attention to what the gear does.
Yeah. But it's kind of neat because, you earn conquest points for PvP. Like today, filling a bar in the UI, and it rewards raid quality armor or weapon as you fill that bar. So it's kind of runs the same kind of concept as PvE, but it's just PvP gear, so I like that. That's a really good idea.
They talked about Mythic Plus quite a bit during the Q&A as well. First off, there were people complaining that they weren't able to swap gear while inside a Mythic Plus dungeon. Turns out that was completely intentional, so if you're used to that style of gameplay right now, better get used to not being able to swap, because that's going to be a thing.
So you won't swap at all in a dungeon?
In a Mythic Plus dungeon, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
And that makes sense, because the Mythic Plus is kind of the successor to challenge modes. So you couldn't really... You couldn't do that in challenge modes, could you?
I don't remember. I never did challenge modes.
But it's meant to be like a challenge. A challenge mode.
Yeah.
Gee. Wonder why.
One of the changes they're doing is regarding affixes. So affixes like tyrannical and fortified, which were previously only available, I believe, at Mythic Plus 10 or above. They're going to be available from the start of Mythic Plus. So there's a possibility that you'll get it at some of the lower Mythic Plus levels. They're hoping that'll get rid of the large jump in difficulty from 9 to 10. Also regarding affixes, there's going to be something called a seasonal affix. Doesn't make mention of how long the season's going to be. I imagine it's going to be a pass cycle. But there's an affix that's going to be rotated on a per-season basis. For example, the affix for Season 1 is called Infested. So Infested is some non-boss enemies have been infested with a spawn of Gahoon. It makes units more dangerous, resistance to CC, and when the target is damaged, the parasite jumps out of the target and makes its way to another NPC, giving you a chance to kill it. So that's kind of an interesting mechanic. I'm interested to see how that plays out, especially considering Mythic Plus will likely be my main mode of content come Battle for Azeroth.
I don't know, the thing spitting out parasites sounds kind of dirty.
A little bit.
I guess it doesn't specify. Oh, it is. It's a parasite. Yeah.
Yeah. They also mentioned that Mythic 10 will yield the best possible loot once everything is unlocked.
Also, the Heart of Azeroth will have a catch-up mechanic similar to Legion, but instead of getting like huge gross gains in artifact power, you just see a cost reduction in unlocking the next Heart of Azeroth level. So it just goes down instead of like everything bubbling like crazy, because that's not fun. I mean, it looks cool to see huge numbers, but you get to a point where it's like, is this 50 million or is it 500,000 million? I don't know.
500,000 million?
Yeah. I'm making up numbers like they do in WoW. That's why they have stat squish.
Yep.
They have to squish the artifact power too. Don't you know?
I'm still not used to the damage numbers that are coming up.
In, like, the beta, or...
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, I crit for 1,000, I think. Or was it 3,000? Something small like that. I'm just like, that seems inconsequential. I miss my critting for 3 million.
But do you? Do you really?
I mean, kind of. I haven't played my warrior in a little bit. There's some other class changes, which obviously we're not going to get too into, because... that's tedious. One thing I do want to bring up about the class changes, though, is we mentioned, well, I mentioned anyway, after BlizzCon, that I saw that the class buffs were looking like they were making a comeback, because I saw Battle Cry reappear on my Warriors bar. They did say that was an experiment that they've pulled back from a bit, so... for those of you hoping to see a whole bunch of those class buffs come in, don't be surprised if it's not there. Yeah, Medros, did you find anything particularly interesting in that Q&A?
I will be honest, I read it over and I didn't find anything that I was interested in. It just seemed kind of stuff that I wasn't super excited about, I guess is the best way of putting it. I expected the PTR about now for 8.0. I figure it'll be about a 3 to 4 week PTR. As expected. The Allied Races thing was, like, very, very briefly interesting. The flying section was kind of, okay, yeah, and?
Yeah, it's just a lot more of the same.
Class changes, yeah, there's changes sometimes, there's not, other times, it's not really specific. War mode, Mythic Raids and Mythic Plus, not really interesting to me. Artifacts... you know, like I said, I will avoid losing the stuff that I like on my artifact as long as I can, because I really like my artifact. Heart of Azeroth, that was probably the only thing that was interesting. Honestly, that was probably the only thing that was interesting to me at all in this Q&A. So, yeah, it wasn't super exciting to me for a Q&A. Honestly, if there could have been a Q&A with anybody, I would want to do a Q&A with Christy Golden. That's a Q&A I would have liked to have seen this week.
They're not going to do that until after BFA if they do that.
Yes, I expect they won't do that until well into, and there's definitely some questions I have DM'd to her to a complete lack of response, unsurprisingly, simply because I'm very curious what's going to happen with some stuff and some characters, but that is not something I expect to see a full answer on anytime soon.
It was worth a shot.
Yeah, and it's a great book, so... yeah, the Q&A that they had, it really didn't address anything that I was so super interested in. So, yeah, I did read it over. Didn't find anything that I could pull out that was exciting or even worth noting for me personally. But you can't win them all, so...
I actually did just read over a point that I wanted to talk about a little bit. Well, just not talk about, just sort of mention. So, as we all know, that the Realm First... stuff for Mythic Raids and all that are kind of going away come Battle for Azeroth, and they're replacing that with a Hall of Fame, wherein the top 100 guilds of each faction in the world will receive the Hall of Fame achievement when they down the Mythic version of the raid. One thing that they've expanded on regarding that is that the cross-realm functionality for the Mythic Raid will not unlock until the top 100 guilds of both Horde and Alliance have earned a Hall of Fame achievement. So that's interesting.
Yeah, that I found that interesting too. It's kind of cool. It allows, I don't know how fast we went through the first got the first 100 people through on each faction. But, you know, well, the other thing is communities, right? I guess communities can't do mythic until 100 people clear it, right?
That makes sense? I think so.
Yeah.
I'm just curious now. Like, obviously, I expect Horde to unlock that faster than Alliance, because that's just how things seem to go. I wonder, like, how quickly Alliance is going to get it. Let's just see. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm willing to bet that you'll see people miss out and then swap factions to get it. And maybe stay at that at the Alliance faction. Or maybe it'll just level out naturally.
Okay, so I'm just looking at the top 100 Alliance guilds for Mythic Argus. And it looks like we got the 100th Alliance guild to kill Mythic Argus happened on March 12th, 2018. Okay, now let's check Horde. And the 100th Horde guild to kill Mythic Argus happened on February 5th, 2018. So, a full month before the Alliance side. That kind of sucks.
That does.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Go Horde, you're the best.
And so the first kill of Mythic Argus happened on December 13th. So, yeah, that kind of sucks. So between the first kill and the Horde, so if we applied these rules to Legion, between the first kill of Mythic Argus and the Horde unlock, it would be about 1.5 months, roughly, before Horde was able to do Mythic Cross Realm, which means it would have been about 2.5 months for Alliance. I don't like it. And not that it affects me at all, but people will complain.
True story.
I feel like maybe it should just be 100 guilds total. I feel like that might be a better way of going about it.
I don't know. I feel like people would switch over to the other side. Like, if Horde is that far ahead, I feel like people would switch over to Alliance to get it. And then they would stay in Alliance, so it kind of just balances, I think.
I don't know.
Alliance would definitely get more people, like high-end raiders raiding, and I could see that happening.
So it looks like the 100th guild overall to kill Argus happened on January 31st, 2018.
Wow.
So that's not actually too far behind the Horde. The Horde said, February 3rd?
Yeah, I think so.
It's only 3 days.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if they're going to go with this top 100 thing, maybe doing top 100 overall instead of per faction might be the better way of going about it. Because otherwise you're just pissing off half of your player base. Half of your raiding player base.
Yeah. Well, what if it was like top 200 then? Like, because it's 100 of each, right?
Yeah, well, let's see. Scroll through WoW progress. So top 200, that the 200th kill happened on February 16th. So happy medium. Top 100, top 200, I don't think they should be like a perfection thing.
Yeah, I guess that, yeah, I agree with you. Like, just whatever is whatever, and then I don't know.
At the end of the day, this affects none of us.
Yeah.
But people will, that doesn't mean people won't be angry about that.
I feel like the underlying thing there is to, like, balance the factions out a little bit more. But that's only for, like, high-end raiders, so
yeah, it
doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
But I mean, that's all about, I feel like the high-end raider thing, especially with the high-end raider thing being all Horde, I think the perception is that if you want to be a high-end raider.
Yeah, but I feel like it could swing with the top 100 from each faction, right?
I feel like it would have the opposite effect, and it would lead to more people going onto the Horde side because they're seeing the cross-realm mythic unlocking so much faster.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I think it would just add to the problem.
Fair.
I guess we'll see what happens come BFA.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. But I think that's enough talk about the devs talking about Battle for Azeroth. I think we're going to talk a little bit about some older gameplay.
We can skip it. It's no big deal. We don't have time.
It's no big deal for you. It's a big deal for some people.
Well, some people are wrong. I say that, but I joke. So the devs at Blizzard did a dev water cooler today, just giving a bit more information on where things are standing and what they've gone through so far towards the WoW Classic servers. So basically what they did is they decided that the state of Classic servers is going to be patch 1.12, which I believe was the last patch before Burning Crusade, right?
That was the next patch, I think.
Was it?
That's what I've seen thrown around anyway. Obviously, I have no idea if that's true. But I'm pretty sure that's the next patch. Oh, patch 1.12.
Let's see. Patches. No, 1.12.2 was the last patch for WoW Classic. 2.0.1 was the first patch for Burning Crusade. So basically they are sticking with the most stable, I guess, version of WoW Classic to ensure that all the best, you know, all the class changes and all the stuff that was done to make it as best as it could during that expansion or the original launch of the game is there. So once they knew where they were going to be starting off with, they pulled the old server data and the old client data they had backed up and began to work on making it play on good current hardware. They did find some issues, which is not unexpected when you're doing that. They did find that the old code didn't recognize modern video cards and doesn't work with the new or the current login system. A lot of the improvements they've made, like anti-cheating stuff, was not able to be ported over to it natively. So basically they have taken several approaches to it and worked to bring the code they have up to where they want to be for actual people playing the game in a real fashion, instead of just play testing and seeing how much they could die. It's gonna be a long process. I don't note here any actual indication of when players can expect that to launch. I guess they wanted to make sure that players didn't think that they were ignoring them, which is definitely a good thing to do for your player base.
Probably gonna be August 15th.
I doubt that. Very much doubt that. Yeah.
2019, my good friend.
So yeah, looks like it's truly going to be like a classic server, so none of that quality of life stuff that people say they should be including. That some people were saying they should include. Nope. 1.12.
Yeah. And, you know.
Minus bugs.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem with fixing bugs. Basically, it will be Vanilla WoW at its height with improvements based on modern technology, which is probably the best that the varied sides in the matter can agree on is a good place to be.
I wonder if anybody will be upset that their video card from old school won't play the game.
Probably there'll be some of them. Yes.
What?
They're idiots.
I want to dig up my 13-year-old laptop and play WoW Classic.
But Toasty, think of how far you'll be able to see with newer hardware on that old code.
No, it doesn't need to come with that kind of stuff. Those are quality of life improvements that classickers don't deserve.
Oh, right, yeah. Right. They'll only be able to see, like, 10 yards. Right, sorry.
Yeah.
And then, we're being, like, very sarcastic, everybody. Don't at us.
Tree clipping. Don't forget tree clipping.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget, all of the trees in Elwynn Forest and all of the world are going to look just like they did on launch. There'll be no improvements to the trees. They will still look like crap. Well, they actually still do look like crap in the real world. So, for this.
So I mean, I don't disapprove of, like, I'm not adverse to Classic WoW, but how long until we start seeing complaints about no flying in Classic?
The time until it launches plus 3 days.
You know what? I honestly don't think they will be. I think the people who wanted Classic WoW to begin with are okay with the no flying thing, too. At least a decent chunk of them are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping that they enjoy having the Park and Stormwind back. They can have Camp Tarajo back. Barons will all be one thing again. And you can once again ask where that Dumbork's wife is.
Mankirk?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, man.
It'll be just like old days. Chat?
Oh, Baron's my goodness.
I might need to create a horde character on WoW Classic just so I can experience it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm pretty sure a lot of it's going to be really forced memery, because that's just how the internet is. But, I mean, still, I kind of want to see that live.
You can enjoy that live. I will sit back on my real servers and whatever comes after Battle for Azeroth and enjoy playing in a real server.
Hey, now, Medros.
They're all real servers.
It is a real server, yeah.
No. That is the past and should stay there. That is my opinion, though. I understand there's lots of people who disagree with me.
Okay. Before we start a flame war somewhere, let's bring us back to present times. The Warcraft guys had a little panel at E3, right?
Yes. And I totally didn't read this at all. I didn't even realize that Warcraft, or that Blizzard, was at E3. Although, that makes sense.
Okay, well, I can grab that.
I'm sorry.
That's all good. All good, man. So,
see, it was the cinematic. I think Toasty just wants to talk about this because it's Matt Mercer.
I didn't actually watch it, I just read the summary.
Okay.
But now the Mercer's in there, Wait, just scrolling through the... Oh, there he is! Hi, Mercer!
Such a fanboy.
Yes! Yes, I am.
Okay.
Anyway. So yeah, they had their storyboard, and they have the story and cinematics people over at E3, just talking about... their processes and all that regarding the story of Warcraft. So, some highlights from there. Christy Golden, she co-wrote the theme song for Hearthstone's Kobolds and Catacombs, which is yay, because I really like that one. Oh. And not just because Mercer sang it. They talked about some of the more difficult parts or difficult things that they've animated that, you know, really kicked them in the gut. This isn't a spoiler at this point, but Azeroth getting a sword through it kicked him in the gut.
Azeroth has a sword?
But it didn't kick him in the gut as hard as killing Varian did. As many of us have expected, and as many of us have, you know, seen in the Battle for Azeroth beta, there are many cutscenes, some of which are there right now, some of which are just like insert epic cutscene here kind of thing. So, look forward to more of that. They talked about their internal team makeup in terms of the animators and quest designers and all that. So, they mentioned that there are about 20 quest designers for WoW currently. And that story and animation department for WoW has about 100 artists on the team. But they also work on the other IPs like Overwatch and... Can't think of any other IPs they're making cinematics for right now. Heroes of the Storm?
Probably.
That's pretty much it.
Well, there'd be stuff for Hearthstone too, though, right? Like the videos, like the expansion videos or new card pack videos.
Oh, yeah, that's true, in Hearthstone. Okay, yeah, yeah. There is a group within that group dedicated strictly to WoW. That's about 20 to 30 people. And they also mentioned that there's a whole bunch more story for launch, or coming out soon for launch, that hasn't been talked about yet, including stuff that hasn't been tried before. I'm interested about that. I want to know what it is, because I need to know all the things. And I want to know if Matt Mercer voiced any of it. Yeah. So that was a very high level summary of what happened during that talk. MMO Champion has the VOD of that. Looks like it is... That can't be right. That says 9 hours. There's no way they were talking for 10 hours. I'm so confused.
It must be a full day video of an entire stage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just E3 Coliseum.
So, this is probably... Like, they've got it starting at 227. That's probably around the point where Blizzard stuff was happening.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it probably goes for an hour.
Yeah. At
325, it's the Coliseum logo thing. One thing that they I'm just reading over the notes here. Says faction conflict has always been a part of the story, but in BFA, it's the first time it's an all-out faction war is the issue. That's interesting, because we've had, I guess in the past, when it was Horde and Alliance, it was just kind of like piddly little arguments or something.
Little skirmishes or whatever, right?
Yeah. No actual war.
I guess this is the first time where we're seeing major hubs kind of changing hands.
True, yeah.
Otherwise, it's just, oh, look, Camp Taraho is suddenly a road. or Theramore is just not there anymore.
That's Dalaran. Old Dalaran.
I mean, yeah, Dalaran too, technically. Crater. Parts of Dalaran. I'm going to have to watch this. Yep, I'm going to watch this later.
Sounds like a good plan. So I guess let's talk about some beta stuff, shall we?
Yep. So, I had stuff highlighted, and of course I lost it.
Oh no.
This is the worst.
Were you excited about Blood Trolls?
No, not particularly. Which I guess works out, because they're not an allied race.
Well, you must be excited then, because you can kill them.
This is true.
Yeah.
So apparently somebody misspoke during an interview. Blood Trolls are definitely not going to be an allied race. Which, as somebody in the comments pointed out, is interesting. Because they went out of their way to point out that the Blood Trolls weren't going to be an allied race. Like, they went out of their way to say that. They said nothing about Volpira, Tortolan, or the Sandlane.
Which means it's still
interesting. Possible. Give me Tortolans, Blizz. Give them to me.
That would totally be a Horde race.
No.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Valerian Alliance and Tortolan for Horde.
And they can only be druids.
Wait, who for the Alliance?
Vopira.
Vopira.
Boo! Boo to you, sir! How dare you!
I would say the same thing about you pointing out that you made a Dark Iron Paladin. Touché.
Yeah, but those are the right paladins.
And that's the right race.
Okay, so one thing that came up in this beta build, there's a whole bunch, and I mean a whole bunch of plundered gear, which I can only assume are rewards for the island expeditions. Interestingly enough, we're seeing a return of a weapon slot that we have not used since... What's that expansion with the time traveling? Warlords for Draenor. Warlords of Draenor. The wand. We're going to have wands.
Ooh.
Y'all spellcasters who could equip wands before, you can equip them again.
I'll be honest, I never saw that as at all something I would ever wanted to use. Like, well, now games were so much better.
Now I can fully, like, commit to the Harry Potter RP.
There is one thing I'm looking forward to in the new expansion. Without a doubt. What's that? I am really looking forward to making money off of weapons again.
Oh?
Weapons sold far better than armor, I found, when I was doing my auction housing in Warlords.
I believe it, honestly. The weapons, outside of the shoulders, weapons do a really good job. Weapons
are one of the
slots that just, they're very obvious, right?
And yeah.
They grab your eye as much as the shoulders do.
Yeah. Oh, they're iconic. I mean, do you remember any helm besides the Lich King helm in any specific detail? As much as you do Frostmourne, Ashbringer, and other legendary weapons like that.
Yeah, the Blackrock transmog set.
Fine.
I remember that vividly.
All right, then.
I'm trying to think. I know there's... I don't remember what tier it is, though, so that's not really... I think that's the Old War tier for the Warlock, where it looked like it was like bone things that came out of your face. Or not bones, but I don't know. I can't even describe it, so obviously it's not that iconic.
But yeah, no, I agree. The weapons are definitely the more iconic bit of the visual parts of our characters. It's the ones we remember the most.
And honestly, it'd be good to go back to a point where it's not a guarantee that everybody will have the same thing.
Let's be real, you're going to keep Ashbringer anyway.
Well, yes. For a while, at least. Get
corrupted Ashbringer.
I actually tried the Mage Tower, and I gave up.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Even outgearing it, it was still hard.
Yep, sure is. I don't know if I'm going to attempt it for arms.
You what?
I haven't decided if I'm going to attempt it for arms.
Oh.
I mean, there's no reason for me to, because, like, I can't use it for my Fury transmogs anyway.
I don't know, maybe if you want an RP. Yeah? Yeah?
I want an RP as an inferior warrior.
Inferior?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know.
If I'm going to RP as an inferior warrior, I'm going to RP as a paladin.
Anyways. I'm not taking the bait there.
Just, no. You sure?
Yeah. So, I did actually watch the cinematic for the giving you the retiring of your artifact. And it was very interesting. I did not expect to see some of the faces I saw in the Horde group, or the Alliance group, sorry, that was there for that cinematic. And it was nice to see that, you know, it's not just, I am so powerful that I will be the one who is able to take this down. Like, it's a group effort.
Yep. And that's all we're going to say about that.
Yep. Because blank and blank and blank happened, and we're just not going to go there.
Yep. Stuff happens, guys.
That's apparently, stuff? Apparently does.
Stuff and things. And the Watchmen.
Stuff and things.
I will give one small teaser. Magni's there. I know, shocking, isn't it?
What about Magni?
He's there.
He's all fleshy. Oh, wait, no, he's a diamond.
Yeah, he's a dwarf woman's best friend. He's a dwarf and he's diamond. Can't get any better than that.
and a king. Except he's not really a king anymore. He's a former king.
Yes, he's elevated beyond royalty.
He's beyond the crown.
Indeed. But, yeah, I'm very interested to see where that whole storyline is going to go, because I don't think that is the last time we're going to see Solithus. I think there will be more to do there yet.
I'm just glad that I know for sure that that quest line is the quest line to deactivate my artifact weapons is not available till 8-0, which means I could probably finish up the other post Argus quests.
That's good.
Now.
Oh, that's a good, good point.
I've been putting that off because I was worried I wouldn't be able to get Mage Tower stuff. I think I'm safe now, guys.
Yep. That is a good thing.
It's a good possibility. I don't need to worry about that right now.
All right. Any other beta stuff that we want to talk about?
Not particularly. I mean, the beta stuff is the beta is introducing fewer and fewer new things. I guess it's getting to that point where they're pretty close to what they want it to be. We're not seeing a whole bunch of changes coming in not huge sweeping changes coming in class-wise. We're seeing more abilities removed from GCD again, and just small tuning things. But we're at the point in the beta cycle where we're not going to be seeing large revamps happening for insert class here. So, I think at this point it's going to be mostly fine-tuning.
Yeah, and they kind of mentioned that in the Q&A as well, and like some things that come up might get fixed in like after release, but
55 days,
things are winding down.
Yep,
technically 54 for us,
just about.
It'll
just
be
under 2 months left.
There's a countdown on the Blizzard site, or was it on the?
It's on the Blizzard site.
Okay.
You know what you can do while you're waiting for Battle for Azeroth? You can go over to Audible, our second sponsor for the show, and listen to some books, because they've got a whole bunch of them. In fact, if you go over to bit.ly/ATABooks2018, you can find over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. The book we're going to feature this week is The Sword of Summer, as part of the Magnus Chase and the Gods of Asgard series. So let's go ahead and have a listen.
Hey, I needed money for pizza. Or maybe, unlikely as it seemed, the police were still looking for me, wanting to ask questions about my mom's murder. I packed my stuff, which took about 3 seconds. The sleeping bag rolled up tight and fit in my backpack with my toothbrush and a change of socks and underwear. Except for the clothes on my back, that's all I owned. With the backpack over my shoulder and the hood of my jacket pulled low, I could blend in with pedestrian traffic pretty well. Boston was full of college kids. Some of them were even more scraggly and younger looking than me. I turned to Blitz. Where'd you see these people with the flyers?
Beacon Street. They're coming this way. Middle-aged white guy and a teenage girl, probably his daughter.
I frowned. That makes no sense. Who?
I don't know, kid, but I gotta go.
Blitz squinted at the sunrise, which was turning the skyscraper windows orange. For reasons I'd never quite understood, Blitz hated the daylight. Maybe he was the world's shortest, stoutest homeless vampire.
So once again, that was The Sword of Summer, the first book in the Magnus Chase and the Gods of Asgard series that was narrated by Christopher Goitig. Goitig? Written by Rick Riordan. You can find that and over 200,000 other titles at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show.
All right. So, Crest of the Week for last week is, did you get a Violet Spellwing? Are you planning on getting one? As Zeph said, yes, I did get a Violet Spellwing via Perky Pugs. Consider making a donation to St. Jude's, everyone. Really.
And Fresley said, got one thanks to an impromptu run by my guild, Convert to Raid, on the Facebook Raid team.
Well, congrats.
Do you have one yet, Ken?
Nope.
You really should.
I would have talked about it today if I had gotten it in this past week. But I
thought
didn't.
You forgot.
Maybe I was busy because I planted stuff in my garden finally.
Did you figure out which was which?
Yes.
Okay.
Per the responses, I kind of noticed that as well, so... Yay.
I am not planting anything this year.
I have rhubarb.
Ooh.
That's not something you plant, that's just something you accept.
I will gladly accept it, because rhubarb cake and rhubarb pie are just fantastic.
Then you would likely be in tears. Four houses down, they have, like, their entire backyard was just rhubarb plants from the previous owners, and they mowed them over.
Why would you do that?
Because they didn't want rhubarb, I guess.
Rhubarb's fantastic. And this plant is freaking huge.
Good, you have lots of rhubarb then.
Like, I'm posting it in Discord. The thing is gigantic.
Wow, that is a big rhubarb.
Wow.
Gonna have so much cake and pie. Probably pie.
Yeah, we'll have to come over sometime this summer and do a mini housewarming.
Oh yeah, I should do that soon.
Yeah. Oh, you should probably cut that flower off of there though.
Why?
Because you don't really want it to seed. You don't want more rhubarb plants.
That's true.
You don't?
No.
All right.
Rhubarb is very invasive.
Yeah.
And
raspberries are too. I have to pull some out.
I have raspberry bushes as well.
Oh, wow.
Do you want some more?
Nope.
I can give you some more.
Nope.
You sure?
Yep, I've got plenty.
All right.
I might be interested in some, not right now, not this year, but...
They won't be around next year, so...
Why?
We're pulling them all out.
Why?
There's not enough yield for the amount of pain they cause.
Oh, okay, don't worry. I don't want it then.
They are very, very invasive. Like, they grow massively and spread really quickly.
Yep.
Like, I've already got 5 extra plants than I had at the beginning of the spring. And I had 4 extra ones last year. It's crazy.
Huh.
Anyways.
I should probably do something about those raspberry bushes.
Our next week question is, what's your favorite memory from the past 600 episodes of All Things Azeroth? I'll answer next week.
Why weren't you prepared? You always give me a hard time for not being prepared.
I want to hear what other people have to say first.
Oh.
I'm willing to allow you guys as well to save your answers for next week.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Toasty.
My first guest episode. Honestly, that was a whole lot of fun. I remember being incredibly nervous about it. But obviously it's worked out well, because here I am, like, what, 2 years later? Still having people tolerate the sound of my voice, so hey. Not a bad deal.
Yeah. That was kind of the answer that came to my mind, too, was my first guest episode, because that's kind of just what started it all, and I was also super nervous, and, I mean, look at where I've come from then, and like I said at my wedding, doing this podcast has really helped grow me to being like a better speaker. And I mean, sometimes I'm not so great at it. Sometimes I can't remember things that I'm trying to say or want to say, or like objects like Primal Sargerite, or I can't remember right now what, like, the thing that you used to buy the Order Hall resources, Medros.
Like, Blood of Sargeras?
Yeah, that! So, I don't know. I'm pretty fail at remembering that kind of stuff for some reason now. But overall, you know, so many changes, and I'm super thankful for them. So that's kind of my best memory, favorite memory.
Cool. Well, we'll hear Medros' answer next week.
Yep.
And we look forward to hearing yours. All 600 episodes.
to be clear, I already know my answer.
Oh.
My answer, I already have my answer written down.
Oh, okay.
Without a doubt, it is the answer. No questions asked. However, I do want to hear other people's answers before I give mine. That's all.
Okay.
All
right. That's fair.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to hearing your answers.
Indeed. All right. So, shout-outs. I'm pretty sure I missed the one from last week that it should have been done. So, we're going to do everything in one swing today. So, shout-out to our patrons, Lee, Brock, Fan, Redzian, Frasley, Thomas, David, Erlina, Toasty, Troy, WookieBH, Bimini, and Will, who is now a patron again. And Toasty, tell us about this great guild you've heard of.
Oh, shoot.
Do you know their name?
They changed their name. Shoot. Hold on. I knew they changed their name, too, and I needed to get the name. Strike first on Dalaran. The guild that is formerly Hardcore Casuals, they decided to change up the name going into Battle for Azeroth. They're a great group of guys and gals, and they're always looking for people to go raid with them. So hit up Junx, either in-game, and he's in our Discord occasionally. So, yeah.
All right. And then, of course, as usual, we also mention the Daily Frostwolf, because Nivemi is a great, great person and a longtime patron of the show. And some really great stuff there this week, branching into more games, Fortnite, as well as other as the usual WoW content. So always a good thing to read up and see what's going on in gaming as a whole picture. Definitely check it out. That's frostwolves.blogspot.com. All right. Now for our shoutouts. Fan, your shoutout first.
Oi. I clearly did not prepare for this. Toasty, you go first.
All right. I'm going to give a shoutout to the 12 teams of the Overwatch League. Thanks for giving us a fantastic inaugural season. I enjoyed watching as much of it as I humanly could. And yay for the LA Gladiators for finishing first in Stage 4 for their first time ever. Too bad we couldn't translate that to a win in the Stage playoffs. Also, like, sorry Shanghai Dragons for going 0-40 like in the inaugural season. That really sucks. I was hoping to see a win. They came really close this week. Took it to the fifth map and everything, but they just couldn't pull it off. Hopefully next season goes a lot better for you guys.
Fandeath?
Buttons. My shout-out is for Buttons.
Who's Buttons?
No, like the buttons that keep your pants up. No.
They are...
Okay. It was the first random word that came into my head, okay?
Hey, those things are important to the overall structure of pants, so... And they're often overlooked. People don't consider the buttons until they just don't work anymore. So yeah, that's a legitimate shout-out.
Actually, my shout-out is going to be super vague, just because I don't really have any details about it. It's to a couple different people at work for giving me some advice over the past week, I guess, for some questions that I have, and I really value that feedback. I'm not going to go into it right now, but maybe sometime in the future I will. So, sorry for being vague, but yeah.
All right, then. And my shout-out is going to go to Niantic for finally allowing me to complete my Gen 1 Pokédex soon-ish.
I have a complete Gen 1 Pokédex. Just throw that out there.
I just need some that I don't have to travel for, that's all.
Oh, and Gen 2 as well, actually. I'm close to a Gen 3 complete Pokedex. Not quite.
Well, I mean, I have the North American Pokedex for Gen 1 and 2, but not the complete Pokedex.
No, I just straight up have the complete one. It's pretty great. Mm.
I see. Anyways, so yes, thank you, Niantic, for that, and I look forward to the next update. But I guess that's about it, so let's get out of here.
All right. So if you'd like to hear... Yeah. Wow. It's been a while since I screwed up on the outro. If you'd like to read... Holy crap.
Would you like me to do it?
No, I got it. If you'd like to reach out to us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WOW-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show at allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz, Medros is at Medros, Fandeth is at Fandeth, I'm at Toasty Posty Ken, and you can find the network over at Dawnforge. And join our new Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetata, and check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Universe.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of Pokemon Trading.
And raid testing in WoW Beta.
This podcast has been a production of Dawnforge, copyright 2018. Find out more at thedawnforge.com.